This is Matt Wells with UN News. The world needs to focus on the capabilities and abilities of people with disabilities, and not just the disability. That's a clear message coming from Mawunyo Yakor-Dagba, Vice President of the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations. Both she and her twin sister, together with another sibling, were born with albinism, a condition that results from a lack of melanin producing lighter than normal skin and hair. Having battled prejudice and misconceptions about albinism at home, she credits her parents for ignoring societal pressure to place their children in foster care. Ms. Yakor-Dagba was recently at United Nations headquarters participating in the Commission on the Status of Women, or CSW 62. She spoke with Assumpta Masoi about CSW and the benefits of internship opportunities for people with disabilities in Ghana, and began by talking about her own name, Mawunyo, which means God is great.
Mawunyo means God is great.
God is good.
And God has been great to you.
Yes, God has been good. The journey has not been easy. Mm-hmm. But I think God blessed the efforts of my parents. And here I am today.
And I heard you have siblings also?
Yes. Mm. In fact, my parents went through a situation that very few parents will go through. And that's to raise three children with albinism. And I thank God that they didn't listen to what society was telling them. Because right from birth, a nurse told my mom, this is the first time she had had children, twins. And she was told, next time, woman, pray harder. As if we were not children enough. And then another one came, and people told my dad, could you just put them to an orphanage? Like we have a children's home in Ghana. And they said, no. They read about albinism, just to understand the challenges. And that is what many brothers and sisters of mine in Ghana and other parts of Africa, maybe they didn't get that privilege for their parents to understand their condition so that the little they could do to help them so that they can stay in school and also realize their potential. And that is why some of us joined the advocacy to ensure that children do not share these sad stories of remaining at home and not going to school. They don't share those stories again.
How difficult was it to be born and raised in a family whereby three of you were all albinos?
It was very difficult. You know, already the color of your skin makes you feel different. Sometimes you ask yourself, how come I don't have the same skin color as others? And it's just not the color of the skin. It comes with low vision. And sometimes you can't recognize people and they don't seem to understand you. Quite apart from that, in school, you need to sit in front. And sometimes teachers didn't even understand. But along the line, some got to understand you. But the fact was that we're doing so well in school. Mm-hmm. So the teachers were willing, some of them were willing to anything they can. If they have to dictate the notes, if they have to write boldly for you to see, they would do it because they knew you were picking up, you were doing very well in school. But it was a challenge. The staring and the cheering at you. You know, sometimes kids can be a little cruel. Mm-hmm. You are passing and they are singing songs. We live in a gang community. I am an Eve. From the name Mawunyo, and they'll be singing, chanting the songs of Free Jatopa, you know.
What does that
mean? It's like someone strange in their midst. And you felt so bad. You feel like, am I not human enough? But thank God, when you go back home with all of these stories, my parents were so strong. My mom would say, no, don't mind them. You are just normal as anybody, except your skin color is different. You are doing better than them in school. So she would be saying all those things to encourage you so that you just remain focused in school.
So that kind of support from the parents was something that make you who you are today. And
yes.
What is the message today?
I always say that my parents, especially my mom, gave me confidence. And any parent, especially the fathers, sometimes they leave the children. They run away from home. They abandon their kids and their wives, all because there's a child at home that doesn't look like you. Please, we all have potentials. Please stay in there. Make sure you give that child every support, every little thing that you can do, that child feels normal as much as possible. And once they grow up, they'll overcome all these challenges and be whatever they want to be. I want to assure parents who have 4 children with albinism that their case will not amount to nothing.
And now today you are here, you are attending the 62nd Commission of Status of Women here in New York. And what has been your take so far?
I think if Helen Keller said, alone you achieve little, mm-hmm. but together you achieve so much. I think this Commission on the Status of Women presents diverse opinions. The cross-certification of ideas for the viable solutions for women. Look, these are men, let me just acknowledge them, men who are gender sensitive, and the numerous women from very varied endeavors. Business, academia, migrant women, widows, women with disabilities, all categories of women coming together. And sharing experiences, and particularly this section, which is focused on empowerment and participation of rural women, has been so interesting because the rural women include a lot of women with disabilities and also women that have children with disabilities. It has been an interesting deliberation so far.
How important is this meeting in adding value to what you are doing in Ghana in improving the lives of women, especially those with albinism?
There are benefits in multiple fronts. First of all, that feeling and solidarity to be part of this large movement. It feels that this is not about you alone anymore. You know, make no mistake, some people might discount it, but for me, it has been so inspiring. And of course, there were some takeaways that I'm taking back home. Mm-hmm. I was really excited about the Zimbabwe representative saying the government is exploring and using assistive technology to make persons with disabilities employable. I think that was, I learned so much from that, and I'm taking that back home. Also, I was at the UN Women flagship event on Leaving No One Behind. The stories from all over, from the widows, there was a child with HIV. I mean, all these stories made you feel that you are human enough. And my table chair at that event was from UK, and she shared about the frame that they use in the UK, that is capabilities, to focus on the capabilities and abilities of persons with disabilities and not just the disability.
So when you talk about the inclusiveness of people with disabilities, especially those with albinism, how is the situation in Ghana?
The UNCRPD and the SDGs are mutually exclusive, and I think until we get a society that is properly inclusive, we will not leave anyone behind. I think Ghana has made some efforts through the work of the CSOs. For instance, the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations, the Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism. We've been embarking on sensitizations in the communities, in the schools. Once we identify any child with albinism in any school, we go to the school, we talk to the children. We do a sensitization of the class and the teacher to ensure that child is integrated and feels part of. And we explain the challenges that the child has. And that has been very helpful. And when you encourage all these children, they go to school, now employment is another issue. You know, the people are so prejudiced. Once they see you, you are written off. So currently, the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations embarked on an employment program where we try to seek for an internship. For me, I was an intern in all the service. Mm-hmm. And after a year, I got employed. So I think from that experience, we are seeking for internship for our members. And we hope that they will demonstrate their capabilities. It shouldn't be like that, but how do we go about it? We need to achieve solutions. It takes time to make friends. We are social beings. Sometimes you are even going out on lunch. I remember my sister was going out on a lunch break with a friend, and somebody called her and said, "You have said children." And thank God a friend told the lady, yes, I want to have said children. Mm-hmm. And since then, she stopped those derogatory remarks. Those who couldn't go to school, some have learned how to like do bread, make bread. Mm-hmm. And people ask them, a lady, she was asked, were you the one that did it or you're just selling? It means mm-hmm. that if you were the one that did it, I'm not buying.
Oh, really?
It's so sad, mm-hmm. man. So, so sad. Mm-hmm. Someone wanted to learn hairdressing. And in fact, even your colleagues who are there learning with you, they didn't want to share, you know, cups and spoons and play with you. Somebody, a customer walks into a salon and doesn't want you to touch the hair. Mm. So when we find some of these situations, we quickly go in there. If you are given the opportunity, we talk to them, we explain. Albinism is not contagious. Mm-hmm. Disability is not contagious. Disability can be anyone's lot. Some were not born with any disability. They had it through accidents, through some medical conditions. So gradually, we hope that attitudes will change, perceptions will change, and we'll truly have an inclusive society that we desire.